Recording. A Taiwan Special 3 for the week. I had a recording fluke, and it was a creative crisis. And I thought I was streaming the Taiwan Special Episode 3 just now. It turned out to be 30 minutes of me talking nonstop, which some of you might find hard to imagine, some of you might find easy to imagine, all depending on the conspiracy theories. Back to the podcast weekly on Monday. So I'm taking what I had recorded audio and failed to stream. It never streamed, so it's not going to be on YouTube. Darn it. I'm going to take that and I might do a still audio version for YouTube and put it up that way. But I'm going to take that yesterday, make it Feature Friday. So when you get to Feature Friday tomorrow, there it's coming. It'll be 30 minutes. It'll be long, rambly, and kind of a little bit out of format. And I might announce it as Taiwan Special Episode 3. I'm not going to edit that part out. So there you go. Feature Friday coming tomorrow. I'm going to go over briefly what I'm going to talk about in it and try to stick to format, because format is important. It lets you kind of follow along. Tomorrow, it's kind of hit and miss. It's going to be all over the map. I'm going to talk about government structure and some history of Taiwan and the island and how the mainland of China has never controlled Taiwan. I'm going to talk about some political figures. You'll probably get lost in the different Chinese names of some of the different leaders in different parts of government throughout the last 5-6 years. Basically, I'm going to explain how from history, it's always been another country like the Netherlands or maybe Portugal, I want to think, occupied Taiwan for a time. Formosa was the traditional name of Taiwan. It's either the Dutch or the Japanese, or it's the other political party, or it's the government that just got defeated on the mainland, but some supporters of that government on Taiwan. The people who control Taiwan are never the same as the government of the mainland. The government of the mainland might technically guard it with their national military, but they never are able to assert control of it. Maybe it's the Aborigines they're fighting against, and the Aborigines resist them. So there are these territories, these wild territories that they just can't go into. Actually, the way that they tamed, quote-unquote, the eastern mountains in Taiwan was the missionaries. Christian missionaries went in and reached out to the Aborigines, and almost all the Aborigine tribes in Taiwan are Christian. And they do their old spirit dances as part of tradition, but they believe in and worship Jesus. It's a thing. This is a thing. You go on the east, you ride the train on the east coast of Taiwan. It's 7 hours. And while you're going, you'll see these Christian graveyards up in the mountains. And those are from the Aborigines. Very, very fascinating and interesting. I'm going to talk about some of the history of Taiwan and how it's always been someone else that's controlled Taiwan. And if, you know, China wants to assert control over Taiwan, it would be a first in thousands of years where the mainland actually controlled what was going on the island of Formosa, a.k.a. Taiwan, traditionally called Formosa. I want to think it's Dutch. Formosa was a Dutch name. There's so much you can learn about Taiwan's history. It's a rich, fascinating history. Jimmy Lai. There was a Jimmy Lai interview with Fox News this week. I'm going to explain a little bit about that. Check it out. It's at the top of the Hong Kong stack from July 22nd, 2019. Cadence of Conflict, or PacificDailyTimes.com. If you go there this week, it'll be from the previous week, from the last week. It's sort of toward the top of the Hong Kong stack. It says Jimmy Lai interview, and then it's like Fox News has like this headline about Hong Kong, but they don't mention Jimmy Lai. But the video in it is a Jimmy Lai interview. Jimmy Lai is a fascinating media personality. And I regret that I wasn't as familiar with what he actually was like and how pro-democracy he actually is. He's kind of painted as this crazy guy that just wants money and does weird, crazy things, which honestly is probably how a lot of the Taiwanese see me on my Taiwanese YouTube channel. So Jimmy's in my corner. Jimmy Lai interview. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. And I talk more about his involvement in different things. So check out the Jimmy Lai interview and what I have to say tomorrow on the Feature Friday. Someone asked me this week what I wanted to happen to Hong Kong. And I'm like, you know, see, I'm always lost in the future. I know history and I know life and I know how the cow chews the cud. Now the cow crosses the street. And I know, like what's likely to happen in the future. And for me, that becomes my reality. And that's why my slogan is today's news yesterday. So for me, I'm all lost and caught up in what I see coming. And I rarely actually have an opinion myself about what I want to have happen. Now, the biggest thing I want at any time is for people to see what's obviously coming. If you play with fire, if you take a bunch of dry logs and you pour gasoline on them and you stack them up in the middle of your living room and you pour gasoline on them and then you take a blowtorch and light them on fire, you might burn your house down. Now that seems obvious to me. But with other such equally obvious things like politics or raising the minimum wage or other things in the world, people don't, they want to argue about what the obvious results are going to be every single time. And there are certain, you know, how did I predict Trump was going to get elected? I know it's a mystery. You raise the minimum wage, people can't get work. And they're surprised every time. And so it's like, you know, minimum wage is for people who are learning how to go to work. You know, that's what that's for. It's like people who don't know how to generate money, they think money falls from trees or something, they don't understand that. And so for me, I try to learn and I try to pay attention and know what's going on. And whatever I want at any given time is for people to just know what's coming. So I rarely actually have an opinion. Do I support Trump as president? For now, I do, actually. I haven't really thought about it. I'm a Trump supporter in that I knew that the economy was going to do better. We were going to be safe. China was going to be less likely to injure us. And that Taiwan would be safer. And I knew that. I wanted those things, which have in fact happened. But am I a brainless minion Trump fan? Am I sold out Trump? I was a Reagan fan. I don't know. I like what he does. I knew it would happen. I wanted it to happen. But my opinion is just more on the fact that Trump was already elected in 2020 when he announced in 2015. Like, and I want people to know that. That's what I want. People to see what's coming. So I just, someone asked me what I wanted to have happen to Hong Kong. Me? An opinion on what I want? You mean I actually get what I get to? I rarely get what I want. What I want is for people to turn their brains on. And I've just kind of given up because it's never going to happen. So someone asked me this week what I wanted to have happen with Hong Kong. Well, I thought about it. What does Jesse want to have happen with Hong Kong? Look, Hong Kong was at its best when it was controlled by both China and Great Britain. Under China, everything was just nothing. It was just dead. It was just deadbeat. And, you know, no tech, no new ideas, people dominating everybody, no progress. They invented sailboats and then burned them. Like, they invented the first sailboats, the best sailboats ever, and then they burned them and stopped it. Like, they're very anti-progress. Businessmen and merchants were horrible. If you wanted to be elite, you had to work for government. Chinese society, ancient society, we think it looks nice and stuff, but there's a lot of oppression. I mean, how dare anyone have a new idea? You are a new idea, they torture you. So Hong Kong or Britain came along and they were actually able to have ideas, but there were only three newspapers when Britain controlled Hong Kong. They had a very narrow thinking. They were practicing learning English. They were getting some Western habits. They got whatever good came out of the Bible. Hong Kong seems to have gotten the best parts of the Bible and not the worst. It's really weird. America's gotten some of the worst parts about a Bible culture, a Bible thumper culture. Hong Kong seems to have gotten only the good parts of the Bible thumper culture and not the bad parts of the Bible thumper culture. Like, that's a thing. But then when Britain left in 1997, they went from having three newspapers to having hundreds. And the people in Hong Kong got an international perspective. And a lot of stuff really opened up, including ideas. And so in the transition, I mean, is during this joint Sino, British Sino joint declaration thing, China and Britain both had their militaries and their governments and their officers there in Hong Kong. In those times, that was when Hong Kong saw its best days. And it's coming to an end because of gentrification. Even in the last 5 years, it's become unlivable in Hong Kong. Even before that, it was really getting expensive. But now it's just terrible how expensive everything is. Because the Chinese and the mainland of China want a place to escape to so they can be free. And so they just, China just lets more Chinese go in and take over China with their flooding it with their people, breeding out the locals, so to speak. And just more and more people go into the same little already cram packed little piece of real estate. Real estate prices just go up. And the only people coming in are ultra rich and can afford a house that's, you know, maybe a quarter of an acre. And then all the locals can't afford to live in a broom closet. It's called gentrification. And that's happening. That's been more recent, especially really hit peak in the last 5 years. It's really become unbearable. But in those early days when Hong Kong had just opened up under China and Britain had just left, when it was right between British and Chinese control is when Hong Kong saw its best days. Now, why can't, you know, so those were the best days. That would be best for Hong Kong if it was ruled by a joint Sino-British oversight body, but then governed itself. Passports and military would be handled jointly, and everything else completely, totally self-governed by Hong Kong. If that happened, Hong Kong would amazingly prosper. Now, I think that China owes some real estate to Hong Kong because of all the people they allowed to go in. They should give those people extra real estate to be able to expand themselves so that real estate isn't unbearable. But China let the people, under China, they strong-armed Hong Kong's government, let those Chinese people go in and live there. They got to give them space. But other than that, really, it wasn't wonderful under the British. And some people, the pro-China people, actually argue that. So if you really want to know what's best for Hong Kong, it would be both. Now, why can't Hong Kong be independent? Because they don't have their own military. Singapore has their own military. But Hong Kong does not have their own military, and they are not asking for their own military. Hong Kong would have to get their own military. And right now, we don't need another military state in the East. Hong Kongers are not allowed to be in any military, actually. This is a thing. Or like they're not allowed. I suppose if they have dual citizenship elsewhere, they could be in that military elsewhere. But Hong Kongers, they're not allowed to have a Hong Kong military. They're not allowed to join the Chinese military. So Hong Kong cannot have its own military, and they're not asking for it. And we don't need to create another military. So if they're not going to have their own military, they got to have someone else's. So they got to be under someone else. Okay, so those are my thoughts. Someone actually asked me what I thought about what would be good for Hong Kong, or what I wanted for Hong Kong. What I want is best, and the best it ever was, is when it was right between both Britain and China owning it, but very loosely. So that's it. You know, I'll just add one other little thing here. I said it last week, but just remember this. When we get on TV and we talk about the trade deal and how the this trade stuff is only going to make more fighting and what's going to happen with China, when we talk about plans and theories and how things work, there is no risk of the Chinese getting wise, because the Chinese in their government, they are incorrigible, I-N. The Chinese government is incapable of learning. And I kind of talked about what that was like earlier this week. They're wholly incapable of learning anything. And we could sit there and say, say the trade war is fake. America is selling weapons to Taiwan just to irritate the Chinese. And it would not make the Chinese any the wiser or any of the more shrewd or any, they wouldn't react or change their plans to not get snookered by the American plot or whatever. It wouldn't affect it because they won't change. They will not listen. And it's just something to think about. They're so hard-headed. You could leak the Pentagon's war strategy plan to the Chinese and it wouldn't change their strategy, because they're so stuck on themselves and so that self-absorbed. It's just a thought to consider and bear in mind. You know your enemy, know your opponent, know your competition, know your friends. Know other people and understand them. And that's the only reason I share that, is to understand. We're dealing with a different type of critter here with China. Feature Friday coming tomorrow. It's going to be hit and miss all over the place, 30 minutes long. Get ready, buckle your seatbelt. And it's for the YouTube channel. I think it's only going to be just a stuck picture of me, and that'll be all that there is to that. Other than that, after Feature Friday, see you next week.